Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode number 29 of the Film Club podcast. My name is Jason.
Hey, Anthony.
I'm Robert.
Hi. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Jason.
Hi. So on this week's episode, we're going to be discussing the new Tom Cruise film,
sci-fi
Oblivion.
Adventure.
Yeah, sci-fi adventure, Oblivion. Robert's going to be giving his thoughts on Danny Boyle's latest trance. I'll be also talking about Rob Zombie's The Lords of Salem. And we'll have movie homework and what we watched, whatever. So, what's been going on, guys?
What's been going on?
What's been going on? I should probably take these headphones off.
Yeah. No, not a damn thing.
No?
Same as usual.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, not much either here. I mean, I don't know. Been watching normal television. It's good. Everything's normal.
Nothing happens in a week. Give us a month before we come back to the how are things. Oh, you guys, something awesome has just happened to me.
What I was thinking today, like when I was doing, I did an outline for this week's episode.
And you were doing an outline for your life.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, I'm, more I was like thinking
depth analysis about where Jason's going.
I was thinking like whenever something interesting happens, I'd be like, hey, maybe I could share that as a story.
Yeah.
Nothing really happened to me this week. All right. Yeah. I mean, Insanity, week two.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been sick. It was good, but, like, I got sick Sunday night. So yeah. I had a sore throat, which is just terrible. Like, you can't breathe when you're doing it.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. Make sure, like, try to get some sort of evaluation, because I think I had a sinus infection.
Yeah. I think you gave it to me. I was telling you before.
I don't know how
it's a possibility.
Sinus infections are.
Yeah.
I'm sure someone can chime in or and just scare ourselves to death. Make sure we have every symptom in the book.
Yeah. But I'm better now. I'm doing a little bit better. I had a bad cough. If I sound weird, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Voice is a little raspy.
Sound really weird.
A little deep.
Really weird.
It's like I'm doing the sexy voice if I'm trying to do the sexy voice. Anyway, I guess we'll get into Oblivion. I did find a decent synopsis, but here's the crappy one. A veteran assigned to extract Earth's remaining resources begins to question what he knows about his mission and himself. I guess that's not that bad. What do you guys think of Oblivion? Who wants to start?
Average sci-fi movie was average.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very average. It played it safe. It had a lot of cards that are typical sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
And it played it well. Like, it dealt with all the sci-fi cards it had. And it played it, but it didn't take any risks, you know? It was just very normal. It laid out. The battle scenes were just so average. I mean, just the battle scenes were like, they happened, and they're like, eh,
there were battle scenes?
Well, shit. I guess we can go... is that a spoiler?
Well, speaking of spoilers, we're going to avoid the spoilers for this main discussion.
Going into that.
Yeah, but at the end of the podcast, we are going to be getting into some spoilers.
Sure.
So stay tuned after the outro for that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, continue.
No, that's fine. They played it safe. Safe sci-fi.
I guess a lot of things I had been hearing about it, like after it had come out, like the word of mouth, it's, you know, it's just very reminiscent of a lot of other sci-fi stuff, be it games or movies or whatever. But I don't know. I guess I have a lack of sci-fi experience. Like,
sure.
I've never seen 2001, and there's a handful of, like, Blade Runner. There's a handful of sci-fi stuff that I've just have never seen. So that stuff didn't bug me. Like,
yeah.
I really enjoyed the film.
That's cool.
And all of its different elements or whatever. I thought the production value was, like, awesome.
Hey, did you see the fancy RPX edition? Or?
No, I didn't. I saw it in regular, but I mean, I thought the movie looked gorgeous.
Cool.
I really liked the design of the world.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the costumes a lot.
If this is your first sci-fi, you're going to love it.
Nah, I mean, the costumes were just sweet, in my opinion. It was very reminiscent of Killzone, I thought. I wouldn't call this a spoiler because it isn't a trailer, which is something that disappoints me about the film, is the fact that in the trailer, I mean, it doesn't disappoint me about the film, but in the trailer, they show that there's this human element, human resistance with Morgan Freeman. And, you know, that happened so late in the film, but it's not a surprise because it was in the trailer. They already showed that.
Did you read into the previews, or are you just talking about, like, viewing the trailer once or twice?
No, the trailer actually shows Morgan Freeman and shows, like, the guys, you know, when you first meet this resistance who are supposed to be scavengers, you find out they're humans. Like, that's not a surprise. Like, and that is kind of a revelation in the film, but it's not even there because it was in the trailer.
I watched it very shallowly, so I watched it once and just didn't really get into it. I felt like that part you're talking about just had Morgan Freeman smoking a cigar. I was like, that's cool. Don't even read into it. And it didn't, so it still worked for me. Like, I know everything like about it was like, playing its sci-fi elements, but that whole thing still worked for me. That element was fine with me.
Robert?
Okay.
But I can see that being, all right, let's bring up the spoiler.
Let's bring up the energy here. All right, America.
I wish I was a little more energetic, no, but it just wasn't.
The film, I agree with what you guys were saying, that if you're not familiar with sci-fi movies, there's a lot of great aspects to it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this movie, the filmmaker, what's his name? He directed Tron.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he wrote and directed Tron Legacy.
Tron Legacy.
Yeah. Tron Legacy, not the reason. He's great. Like, the guy is awesome at making stuff look really pretty, really good.
Yeah.
But as far as story, he's like James Cameron. Story wise, it's mediocre, but visually, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think this is as hokey as like.
No,
as,
yeah,
like
credit, he's Avatar. A little better. Yeah, he's better. James Cameron is hokey, but I mean, I was just trying to compare him, but there's definitely a lot of like, I don't know if it, I don't want to say it steals from like a lot of like sci-fi films, but I feel like it plays homage to a lot of sci-fi movies.
It's in the wording, I guess. That's what Tarantino says.
Yeah, it's homage. In the wording. You can play homage or stealing. And it was really hard because at times I was getting angry. I'm like, are you serious? Like, this is totally taken from this movie.
Yeah.
Like, that's so unfair.
Right.
But then you're like, oh, you know, maybe the guy is really, like, again, like Tarantino, a big sci-fi fan. And he's even, like, you know, I could see that. And he just, you know, is showing that, you know. Mm-hmm. But visually, okay, I saw the movie in IMAX. It was fucking beautiful.
Wow.
Like, here you go. My term, fucking beautiful.
Still jealous.
They apparently say too much. But, it was gorgeous. Like, this movie, I love that this movie was mostly set in daytime with the sun, with the, you know, and like how bright the movie was and how it made everything look just amazing. And the colors were great. Like the landscapes and like even the costumes, I agree with you, were amazing. And, visually, yeah, this movie was beautiful. Story-wise, it's okay. Like, you think of other movies when you watch it. So I don't know if that's good or bad. It's up to you, you know. For me, at times, I did get kind of upset about it, but then I kind of forgave it. But it was predictable, too. I mean, there are moments in the scenes where you're like, oh, yeah, I know what that is. I know what's going to happen. And that's what happened. You know, it's like, so it's hard. It's a movie. I was really conflicted. It's a movie like I try to like, and then I also try to hate. But in reality, I'm just like in the middle with it. It's so weird, yeah.
Tusken Raiders. Tusken Raiders. That's what the scabs were.
Tusken Raiders.
Yeah, they're just yelling and shaking their spears.
I had a big problem with the plot. It was messy. And its way of the way it was trying to reveal itself, the story and the secret that was going on, what was behind it all, because it felt like it was revealed to you a bunch of times, but I wasn't getting it. Like, wait, what? So what is really going on? It was told to you by the characters, but it still made no sense.
Yeah.
And so finally, literally, like the last 5 minutes of the movie, I'm like, oh, it's that. Oh, okay. And I was like, really? It took, like, I was getting really mad about that. Like, that was really frustrating me. Why is it so hard for me to understand this plot when it's just a simple movie and the characters are kind of saying it, but they're not making any sense? Like,
totally agree. Because you have the end. You have the end within, like, the last 40 or last 30 or 40 minutes of the movie. Yeah. Maybe even more.
Mm-hmm.
And it still plays out. It's still, like, you're sitting there. It's a long fucking film, too. Like, it's just, it felt like my buddy was getting fucking tired.
I definitely thought the last 20 minutes, it definitely went on a little bit too long.
So
I was getting restless.
The ending, you know the plot, but it's still going, and it still works besides there, because, you know, you have to be used to sitting on your ass now with movies. They don't know what to end anymore. So you're sitting there, and I agree, the ending was there, but it still went forward and ended like that. And it's like, meh.
I don't know. Like, the plot was simple. The reveal, what was really going on was simple. But for some reason, they told it so messy that it was hard to understand.
I guess so.
I mean, there was, like, elements of it, I guess plot holes that I guess we'll get into later that I had, like, issues with.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
You usually when I watch movies, like, I'm not clever enough to see what's coming. But then again, I don't watch it from that standpoint where I'm trying to figure it out as it's playing. I just kind of try to take it in a way. I don't know. Like,
but
I thought the plot was good. I thought the plot was good.
Yeah, it was good. It was just told messy. Like, it was
Maybe it was the purpose, because like you said, they do give, like, they kind of outline the whole thing. Here's a picture.
And no, just, Morgan Freeman.
Now we're gonna solve it.
No, Morgan Freeman's character even says what's going on, but it's for some reason it doesn't come through, because like you're still trying to figure out what the hell is going on, because like you feel like you're being tricked.
They throw you a little bit of curveballs.
It's not done in a smart way. I think it's just done in a way like it tries to be smart about it, but in the end, it's kind of a mess.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But the plot, like, yeah, when you finally get the reveal, you're like, oh, okay, that's cool. Yeah, I see what it is. But the first going back, like, this has nothing to do with that now, but I thought the first, like, 15 minutes, 20 minutes of the movie, the momentum was amazing. The music, the way it just kept going forward and forward, and then somewhere after that, it just started to, like, slow down like molasses, and,
I, like, speaking of slow, like, I'm just thinking right now, like, just what parts I actually liked, and you're going with, it kind of goes with the slow, like, molasses statement. I enjoyed Tom Cruise's, like, cruise to his little cabin shindig, where he just had privatized, like, you know, what, I'm going to go off the grid, here, just relax, and just be what it used to be.
Yeah.
I thought that was, like, relaxing as a viewer, considering this is, like, a long film, and somehow that still worked for me.
Yeah, I really enjoyed, like, Tom Cruise in the film.
He was good. He was all right. I think he's a good. Like, a lot of people are sick of him, but I think he's fine. Like,
they say, Tom Cruise, like, has roles where it's like literally, Tom Cruise is like the character that can only play that role. And this is another one of those, like, Tom Cruise playing this role just works.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's. I like Tom Cruise.
Did you guys get confused? This is like a little stupid side thing. I mean, it's in the trailer as well. But when he visits that stadium and he's kind of recreating the game, I was confused because
Hail Mary.
I was confused because he's wearing a Yankees hat and then he's talking about football. I'm like, what is going on here?
Well, American.
I'm like, is he like not have enough knowledge of history than in the way where he's speaking about the wrong sport? I guess like that's what I was thinking because of the baseball.
Okay,
cap.
So it just threw you off.
It was just stupid. Yeah. It was a stupid thing.
Well, he doesn't even mention the team. I remember the game where this team, like the home team, went through a touchdown. He never even named the teams.
I wasn't like, never I'm like, is he talking about like the Giants or the Jets?
What was he talking about?
I liked it. America.
Yeah, but that, I mean, if you're gonna see it, I recommend seeing it in IMAX. It's so pretty. It's just it's so beautiful to look at. Even the doll scenes are like pretty. Like
the robots, freaking. It reminded me of Portal.
Saying like video games, like that so heavy Portal vibe for me. The outfits. I mean, you mentioned Tusken Raiders.
Yeah, Tusken Raiders are definitely in it.
So
looking over the hills with their
but like I got Killzone vibe like from that.
Okay.
But I don't know. I really liked the look of the pad that they stayed in.
Oh yeah,
that was it was beautiful. Cool when they were swimming, even though they didn't like fully utilize that swimming pool. They could have did like a better shot of it.
Yeah,
you get the idea of how that would be. Future like pools. Swimming in midair. And even like his spaceship, which at one point reminded me of like cock and balls.
What?
Cock and balls, because it's like just two circles.
Really? Ball? Because there's only one.
I thought there was two.
Helicopter, you seen cock and balls? That's...
Hey, freaking
tomato. Maybe there wasn't
two. What do you always
like? I don't know. I'm fascinated by penises, I guess. Which will come up later, but yeah.
I love when they, I don't even know. No, when they strap something to it, like they strap the cargo on it, it's like, oh yeah, they'll never notice that. Just big, like, extra cargo at the end of the plane. Or the flying device.
Yeah, what do you mean when they're at
the cargo to the end? Yeah.
Yeah, but they expected that cargo, right?
I guess, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. We'll get into that later, but yeah. Without spoiling it. And I don't know, I guess... So I guess the look is what really, like, took me in.
Yeah.
But also, like, the beauty of the redhead girl. I don't know why. I just...
Yeah, she was gorgeous.
Simple and it worked. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like, I don't know. Like, I guess when you're watching a movie and you have that.
Her blank, to look like, at. just follow what she's supposed to believe.
Yeah.
Go forward. I love how she played. Giving him, and when Tom Cruise gave her the flower, and
yeah,
she just automatically, just no matter what, like, totally knew what to do, just threw it out, yeah, follow orders.
And there was some emotional elements to it, as far as stuff that, like, worked for me emotionally. But yeah, like, speaking of the redhead, I look like I'm getting teary eyed or whatever. I'm really not. But no, speaking of the redhead, like, you know how you're saying she's always, like, by the book and everything. Mm-hmm. I really love, you know, that moment early on in the film where he's trying to get her to go down there with him.
Down there,
you know, down to Earth. You know, he probably wants to take her to the cottage or whatever. But, like, I mean, not in that way. Really.
When he rescues her, I was like, he's taking her to the cottage. Yeah. Going to the wreck site. Yeah, that's what he calls the wreck site. His cottage.
But then I just really loved how, towards the end, he tried it once again. Even though he had already found this other woman, he still tried to get her to come down there with him.
Oh, yes.
Because...
down to making contact with...
just going down to Earth. Right? Just experience,
yes,
how that world is down there.
But he was kind of...
This is hard. I'm, like, Charlie and I really trying not to spoil it, but...
He was testing her, like, programming, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was kind of... Yeah, I do agree.
I mean, I liked how he was trying to see if there was...
How broken his reality is.
Well, even if she had some trace of that inside her.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty powerful.
That's cool.
I don't know.
Yeah. Bitches still be crazy in space.
Yeah.
But yeah.
See if I have anything else... I wanted to ask you, I mean, you know, M83 did the soundtrack.
You know what? I read an interview before I saw the movie. I read an interview. I love M83. The guy said pretty much that he had a horrible experience making the soundtrack because the studios pretty much took control over everything.
You can tell.
You could tell. It was so held back. It really was.
No signature at all.
No, yeah. It wasn't M83 at all. It was held back And it was kind of upsetting when I read that interview. I'm like, well, that's the only thing I really had to look forward to was the music out of this movie. That was the thing I was most excited about. Because, like I even told you before, like, sci-fi movies need, like, Blade Runner soundtracks back. The soundtrack to Blade Runner is amazing. Like, we need more soundtracks like that in sci-fi movies. And I was so excited about that because I thought it was going to be at least something like that. And it wasn't at all. I mean, there were very tiny moments, very hints, like, small hints of it.
Even a soundtrack for Tron stood out, you know, like...
Even Tron, well, because Daft Punk was much more popular than M83, and they probably were given more liberty to do what they wanted.
Yeah. I thought the soundtrack was, like, I mean, I never saw Tron Legacy, I have listened to the soundtrack, and I thought it was very reminiscent of that at times.
Okay.
I mean, I definitely enjoyed the soundtrack. Was there M83 in it? Probably not.
No.
I mean, but then again, I don't... Like, I'm not heavy into M83. Like, I know.
But I didn't hear the soundtrack from Tron in this one.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening for. Oh, my audio was fucked.
Well, like, it's especially like. Yeah, especially like the first 15 minutes with the energy and everything. I was getting like the Tron Legacy vibe.
No, that was good energy. The music was good, but it wasn't. It wasn't like. Maybe I just had high expectations, but it wasn't. There was, like I said, there were very little small hints of it. In the beginning, there were. Like I told you, like, where the momentum in the beginning was really good in the movie, but afterwards, I don't know. It became like a regular score.
Yeah.
Mm.
And so, I mean, hopefully this guy will get more freedom to do what he wants. From what I hear, he probably doesn't want to do any more film soundtracks, which is kind of disappointing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, maybe he could do, like, more indie...
Yeah, stuff. Maybe if he does more indie stuff, yeah.
Because usually, like, when someone comes out, I mean, even though he's just speaking his mind and being honest about it,
yeah,
like, the studios are probably not going to like the fact that he's bad-talking the experience, I guess.
Have you listened to Hurry Up, We're Dreaming?
Yes.
A few songs.
Isn't it, like, doesn't it remind you, like, this needs to be in a movie? This is, like, a movie soundtrack. It's so fucking good, yeah.
I really like that one.
And so, yeah, that's what I was hoping to hear, something like that.
I mean, it's good. Yeah, it would be nice to get something more unique,
When it comes out on DVD, put it on mute and play Hurry Up, We're Dreaming while watching Oblivion.
Yeah.
It'll probably be awesome.
It'll be like The Wall in The Wizard of Oz.
Pretty much, yeah.
Is it The Wall? No, right?
Mm.
What is it? Dark Side of the Moon.
And Wizard of Oz?
Yeah.
Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
perfectly match up. So
I was happy when the Kingslayer popped up.
Yeah, oh, Game of Thrones.
Pleasant surprise.
Just like, yeah.
Jimmy Lannister.
Even though he pops up and he has to play that guy who, you know, doubts the hero. Like, I fucking hate that archetype. Like, the same shit in Avatar. One guy who just hated his guts.
They gave him the royal ponytail.
When he tries to speak
English. The royal ponytail at the back.
Isn't he Norwegian, too? Like, he can hear his accent when he tries to speak English, like regular English.
Yeah. For some reason, I, like, always like how people sound usually when they're, like, they're trying to do an American accent. I mean, that definitely
but he
sound
has a
natural.
Great voice, like,
yeah.
Like The Walking Dead main character, Rick. Oh, my God. When he doesn't have his American
Oh, when he talks in his British accent?
It's freaking mind trip.
Yeah, he talks British. Like, I don't know how he does it.
I fucking hate Rick's accent in Walking Dead. Like his
No,
his,
I mean his regular
no,
accent.
Well, no, him like, yeah, I understand what you're saying, his regular thing, but like I don't like Rick's American thing.
You don't think he can do an American?
No. No.
I've got.
Well, I have issues with Rick Grimes, sure. But whatever.
That's your own problem. Yeah,
you're you're sick of him, like, remembering more.
Nah, he's just too scrawny. Like, Rick should be a little beefier. He needs to eat, like, a few burgers or something.
It's the end of the
he
world.
Was scrawny in the comic books, too,
there's
wasn't he?
Nothing to eat.
I don't know.
Okay, we're getting off topic here.
Always goes to Walking Dead.
I know, right?
Always.
But anyway, Oblivion. Are
you guys have any, like, fun?
The Lannister was in there. We're going with the Lannisters. He paid his debts. He sure did.
Yeah, it was fucked up. That was fucked up.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
You guys have any final thoughts on Oblivion?
Final thoughts, Oblivion. Yes.
Go ahead. You go first.
Oblivion. Sci-fi for 2013 so far. Let's hope there's better for 2013 as far as sci-fi. It was safe. It played it safe. It was watchable. I didn't fly out of my seat. It was fine. It was okay.
All right.
Are we doing the scores right now?
I guess we're going to... Are we going to do it after?
After or now?
You can do it now.
You can do it now. It's fine.
3 out of 5.
Okay.
Now that I talk about it more, I'm a bit more forgiving on it now. It's definitely worth the look in a theater, especially in IMAX. I mean, don't expect too much out of it. Like, you know, just try to enjoy it and so you don't get pissed off about the money you just spent watching it in IMAX. But, I mean, yeah, it definitely takes from a lot of sci-fi films, a lot of elements, a lot. Yeah. And try to be forgiving in that because maybe this, like I said, Tarantino can get away with it. Why not this guy? So, yeah, I enjoyed it. Beautiful to look at. Just beautiful. Every scene. And there's not one shot that isn't amazing. But so, I'm going to go ahead and give it a 3.5 out of 5.
Cool. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I just enjoyed it. Enjoyed the design. I mean, even without having seen 2001, I know it's taken heavy elements from that.
Oh, yeah.
Especially
yeah.
The final climax, like, heavily. But I don't know. I thought, you know, like I said, the design of the world, of the costumes was great. I thought the performances were great. Like, I thought Tom was good. I thought this...
No. I thought... You know what? The Russian chick. I forgot to talk about her. She sucked.
Yeah, they didn't really... They didn't... She just...
The wife?
That is
yeah.
all.
The wife?
I mean, she had a good look to her, but...
She had the look. That's all she...
Yeah, she didn't really talk. So.
I thought she was... I thought the redhead was more attractive. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah. I had to get some sort of jealousy there. The silent brunette.
Yeah.
Silent brunette versus...
But yeah, anyway. Yeah, she's a terrible actress. Okay, let's move on.
Yeah, I mean, that's... I enjoyed the film. I guess I'll go... I'm going to go 3.5 as well.
Okay.
Out of 5.
So. High five, 3.5. Yeah! Sure.
I suppose if I see it in IMAX, right. I probably would be in the same land.
So we got 4 watchers, or 3 viewers.
Oh,
if you guys
want
to chat, feel free. That's by the way, people who listen to... Download the podcast. We stream it every week. You'll follow us on Facebook. We post a link usually the day of if you're interested in watching it live. But yeah, up next, I guess I'll go. yesterday, I did a double feature. Oblivion was the latter film. The first film was Rob Zombie's The Lords of Salem. So I guess thoughts on Rob Zombie.
Well, I heard that this is like the Terrence Malick version, like Terrence Malick, of like his horror movies or something. Mm-hmm. Like it's very silent and like kind of quiet and just random scenes that go on. Mm-hmm. That's what I heard. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's true or not.
But I don't know. Like, you want to? Oh, what do you think of Rob Zombie?
I enjoyed him in the beginning. Then mm-hmm. again, I was probably 15, so
I loved The Devil's Rejects more than I know you loved The House of a Thousand Corpses. Yeah. I freaking love
Corpses more so than
no. Devil's I freaking love Devil's Rejects because it was because yeah. yeah, it wasn't a horror movie. It really wasn't, yeah. but it was so it was just so intense. It was so good. I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, I him as a filmmaker, I like him. I think he has a good eye. But yeah, I'm a big House of a Thousand Corpses fan. Even mm-hmm. though,
same here.
Like,
no, I enjoyed House of a Thousand.
The more I watch it, it is like very flawed. But I like how it's kind of like a love letter to Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Obviously, it's just paying direct homage to that.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Devil's Rejects, like, I respect that film. I just, like, House of a Thousand Corpses had this fun element to it. And Devil's Rejects was just kind of supposed to make you feel like shit. So
yeah,
that's why
it was
I didn't
really
like
horror, horrific, yeah.
And, like, even with him remaking Halloween, like, Halloween's my favorite horror film of all time, but I still respect what he did with the first half of the Halloween remake, like, because...
I can yeah, see that.
It's like, he totally missed the point of Michael Myers, you know, unexplainable evil. He tried to give him
yeah
a motive and kind of like an origin story of Michael Myers, and yeah, he did miss the point, but then again, he made it his own. He's throwing his white trash motif that he loves to use in his films. But yeah, I just don't like the second half of that film because he just did like a quick 20-minute version of the original, which I thought was pretty stupid of him to do. But let's see. So yeah, like so like going into Lords of Salem, I was happy to see he's away from this Halloween shit and he's back to like making his original horror films, right? But it's just not very good. it's not very good, unfortunately. So I guess the premise of this film, it kind of starts back in the 1600s, you know, in Salem, and these witches are getting whatever. I don't know. They're just doing crazy shit and they're about to be burned at the stake, of course.
This movie just coming back to me now.
But yeah, but I mean, the movie is about Sherry Moon Zombie, of course, because he can't resist putting his fucking terrible wife in all his films. But she's like the main star. I mean, she's not terrible, but she has this look, like the way she dresses like Rob Zombie dresses, you know, like she's just like the female version of him.
I don't think you're allowed to date Rob Zombie without looking like Rob Zombie. Yeah.
She doesn't age well.
But it's like present. It's like present time, and well, not present. Like the movie feels like it's set in the '70s, and
it looks like they're from the '90s.
It looks like I don't know.
I've only seen the previews. So.
I guess like aesthetically, because the movie is very like reminiscent of Rosemary's Baby and The Shining. Like there's a lot of like long hallway shots, which are really effective, which gave me that whole Shining vibe. But then the story itself is very like Rosemary's Baby. You know, she lives in this apartment. There's this empty, vacant apartment where crazy shit's going on. But yeah, she basically plays this, like, radio DJ. She's part of this team called the H-Team or something, which is some one guy with a beard. And I think his name... I don't know what his name is. He's a black guy. He's been in a lot of his films. Mm. I think he was in, like...
Was he in Dawn of the Dead, the original?
I forget his name. But, yeah, they played his team, but, like, their chemistry is just, it doesn't make sense. Like they're like this really popular radio team, whatever. But they have no chemistry. They use like these weird soundboards. I don't know. It just comes off weird, but eventually she gets delivered this record, by this band called the Lords. And then when she plays this music, which is just a repeating melody, it kind of like fucks with her and like messes her up. But yeah, the movie just dives into like, it's, you know, satanic crap and I don't know, it's just not very effective. Like, there's no body count or whatever, so there's like you're not really getting like horrible death scenes or whatever like that. So it's like it never really reaches to anything. I guess it's just about this girl being possessed and kind of like the story unfolds of what's really going on there. Which has to do with some curse. Like, I don't want to spoil it.
Curses.
But I don't know, like, the movie has really great imagery, like some really great horror imagery, but outside of that, there's really nothing to hold on to. Like, there's some cool images with a werewolf at one point. I know I'm like scatterbrained here, but I mean, no, they don't even, you see like a back shot. There's this one part, you know, I mentioned earlier, this vacant room. She walks into it and it's just this glowing red cross. And she becomes, like, transfixed on it. So she kind of, like, just walks up to it and just is staring at it. And then they shoot to a wide shot, and there's just this fucking creature standing behind her. And it's terrifying, but, like, nothing ever... Like, you never see that creature
is
again in the film.
Horror, or is it, like...
No, it's not. Because, like...
Plot horror.
It's just, I guess...
You're supposed to be afraid of curses.
More, like, emotional. I mean, just like with Rosemary's Baby. Like, it's just about this woman who, like, crazy shit is happening... I mean, it's not that no one believes her. Like, she's not trying to go for help. But it is just about this girl who's crazy shit's happening to her. And, like, she's kind of isolated and alone in the situation. But whatever. It's not very good. What else is going to say about this crap?
One sec.
Shit. I'm sorry. I'm looking at my notes, guys. Terrible. This is terrible.
No dead air.
there was some elements that I actually got a lot of enjoyment out. If you follow me on Facebook, Robert, you're my friend on Facebook, you probably know I don't like kids. I always post a lot of shit about the gelato shop that I work at.
Yeah.
About kids. And actually, I worked there a lot this week, and I realized when you're working there, I mean, think about, you know, you're in this neighborhood with a bunch of families, and hopefully no one who works, or my boss never listens to this, kind of probably get fired. But... You know, there's a lot of families in the neighborhood. And the worst feeling I get, you know, imagine a family's walking down the street. And so the kid gets excited because they know they're coming up to the gelato shop. So the kid runs ahead of the family and gets to the door and, you know, puts their hand on the door and is trying to open it. I hate that feeling. Like, as soon as I see them doing that, I just want to, like, hurt them. But I just really don't like kids.
Because, you know, they're just coming in. And, like, you're just, oh, they're going to come in.
I just, their excitement makes me mad. Which is horrible to say. But it really does.
No, I get that feeling at my store when people, like, stop and they just stare at the windows.
Oh,
they're just staring. And then they walk by, but then they come back and they stare again. And then they're like, oh, well, now I'm going to come in. Yeah, like, what the fuck?
People always do that. Like, they look at the shop, like, what is this, a gelato shop? And then they walk in.
This isn't what I expected.
I'm going on about how I hate kids. I do not like kids.
Okay.
And I work at a gelato shop, so that's probably not a good thing, right? But there is this one nice scene in the beginning of the film, you know, during this whole Salem trial. Or not, it's not really a trial, just which is around this fire, spewing, whatever. And there's a birth, you know. But okay. I guess the baby is not to their liking or something. Maybe it's not, like, doesn't have evil inside of it. So the lady just starts spitting on the baby. So I got some enjoyment out of that. I know that was a very long story.
You're so twisted.
But I don't know.
Wow, this movie sounds boring already.
No, it's not, like, you know, it's a short film. Like I said, the imagery is good. There is
90 minutes?
Yeah, like hour 40.
Okay.
Yeah, so not bad. And there's this stuff that's left unexplored. Like I said, with the werewolf, like, that never comes about again.
Okay.
When they first play this music that I talked about on air, they shoot to all these scenes of these women, like, working in their workplace or at home doing laundry, like, listening to the radio station and hearing it. And you're getting this vibe that they're being possessed by it, which I thought was cool. Like, oh, it'll be cool if, like, this music is possessing these women so they can have a whole new tribe of witches, you know?
Yeah.
And then you never see those women again. So it's like, why did you just, like, this is a really cool element. Why does it never come up? Yeah. And then, I mean, there is a nice emotion, not emotional really, but the other guy that she works with, they kind of dig each other. And there's, you eventually find out that there's this history between them where she used to be a fucking druggie and he probably liked her, but he couldn't deal with the fact that she was a druggie. And he kind of thinks that because there's all this crazy shit is happening to her, he thinks she's falling back into her drug addiction. So there are some nice moments for that. And, you know, it has a fucked up ending, of course. But I don't know.
Cool.
It's not very good. 1 out of 5.
1 out of 5?
No. I'm sorry. Let me get a 1.5.
1.5 out of 5.
Yeah. There's some good imagery.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. I've so never bad. Seen that movie ever unless it's on Instant. Netflix Instant. But yeah. Wow, you're like really, like you have this face like you're like, what?
There is this like side story involving this guy who's kind of like, he writes a book about witches, so he kind of starts finding out this information that this, no, it's actually the guy who played the president in the first X-Men film, the one who eventually becomes a mutant himself after he's trying to pass all this legislation against mutants.
The senator. That was, he wasn't the
president. Yeah, the senator. Okay.
He was the senator.
But that guy's
Kelly? Wasn't it Kelly? I don't remember. Right. I don't know. I'm just making shit up.
No, I think you're right with the senator thing. I was going to do this whole side story, which is okay, but yeah.
Okay, you can stop.
I guess it was a little harsh. I know. I guess I was a little harsh on Lord of the Salem, but whatever.
No, it sounds bad.
I would be too.
I mean, that looks like it is, but the way you're saying it looks like what it is. Like,
would 15-year-old you like it?
Oh, no way.
Oh, wow.
Like, there's nothing.
Nothing happens, right?
There's nothing like, you know, there's not blood and guts. There's not kills. I mean, I'm not saying that's what I need, you know, but.
Yeah. It's what I needed at 15.
Yeah, probably.
Death and.
Oh,
corpses
boy.
And thousands of them. And household.
Yeah. One point. Wow. So, Robert, Trance?
Yes. Last week I saw Danny Boyle's Trance, starring James McAvoy, Rosario Dawson, and what the hell is his name? Vincent Kartheiser or something like that? Or something like, no, Vincent something. It's the guy from Easter Promises, French guy.
Cassell,
Vincent Cassell, right? Yeah, there we go.
The guy from Black Swan?
Yeah, okay. There we go. The guy from Black Swan, yeah. So James McAvoy stars as this guy who is an auctioneer who sells off these really famous paintings. And he decides that he's going to go in on taking... It's not really a spoiler because this is what's revealed to be part of... He's part of this plan to steal this painting with these thieves. To get a share of the money. But then what ends up happening is he does something stupid where he ends up getting hurt in the head and forgets what he did, where he put the painting. And so pretty much the plot of the movie is these guys, these thieves, try to help this James McAvoy remember where he hid the painting. And so they go to this hypnotist, who's Rosario Dawson, to try to, through hypnotism, try to find out what he did with the painting. But behind all of that, there's a lot of twists and turns, a lot of like, you know, oh, maybe it's this, maybe it's that, you know, a lot of behind the curtain scenarios, you know. Story wise, the film was all right. It was expected. Visually, again, this is pissing me off. This is why I wasn't this excited for this podcast, because like these movies, like, visually are amazing, but story-wise, they're just blah. And like, I was just so frustrated with it. But, what do you get? What do you put it? Oh, he wants more beer. So, yeah, visually, like, the trance sequences, the hypnotism sequences are amazing in the film. Obviously, Danny Boyle has great style when it comes to that kind of stuff, like shots and stuff like that. But I got really frustrated with the film because there were so many, like... hidden reveal, like so many, what do you call them? Like twists, so many twists that you just kind of got tired by the end of it. Like, oh no, now it's this. Like, oh wow, oh no, now it's this. Like, oh wow, oh no, now this is the big twist. You're like, oh, okay, whatever. I don't even care anymore. Like, that's pretty much at the point at the end where I just didn't care anymore. I did not care about the twist. And the final twist in the movie at the end was so stupid and it made me so mad because behind it all was just the stupidest motive. It really was. I'm going to spoil it because I'm not going to spoil it, but I'm just going to say it was just a woman being a fucking woman being vengeful to her ex-boyfriend. That's all it was at the end. And I was so pissed off about that because it was actually going places that was really interesting. Like, I loved what they did with McAvoy's character at the end of the movie. Like, it was amazing. I thought what they did with him was great. His story and what happens to him, like, I was like, oh wow, that's great, that's awesome. I didn't know we'd go that direction, you know. But at the end, it was just all about a woman who was upset because her boyfriend was mean to her and beat her up once, and just it was all that. It was all because of that, and I was just so fucking mad about it. I was so mad. You don't understand how much that pissed me off, because the twists before that were actually pretty good that turned out to be false. Like, okay. So, like, I mean, that's why at the point at the end, I'm like, I just didn't give a shit anymore. I'm like, whatever. But, I mean, the film is worth a rent, at least to watch, because visually it's great. Like, you know, McAvoy is amazing in it. Like, him and Vincent Cassel, like, are great in it. Rosario Dawson was irritating for some reason, but watch it for them too. Vincent and James McAvoy, rent it. Whenever it comes out, and you'll enjoy it. But just, oh man, that ending just pissed me off. But yeah, I mean, there's nowhere to go than that. I mean, there really isn't, because I can't really go into details of the movie without, like, giving, like, certain stuff away, even though, okay, I kind of did at the end. But I don't know. I mean, it really, it's at the end, it's all about, you know, I don't know what it's about. It was just, not thinking about it, it was a really disappointing film. But I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm trying to, like, find, like, oh, well,
it's
this,
like, you, like, work through your
anger.
Yeah, like, no, well, because, like, film. I'm trying to think, I'm trying to find something, like, character-wise and, like, some kind of depth to the film right now. Yeah. I can't find anything right now.
So it seems like the excitement is just in the twist and how it unfolds.
And how it unfolds. Not, and, yeah, characters. The look of the film. And, I mean, McAvoy was great in it, and it's hard because, like, I can't, like, I don't want to spoil that part of the movie, because, like, I was actually kind of surprised and happy with it, because, like, the heroes in the movies always change, and, like, that's what I liked about it too. Like, you think this person's a hero, then no, it's that, like, that character is not the hero, and it kind of switches around. So that's what I really liked about the movie too. It's just someone using their power to manipulate people, and what else can you say about that? That's, I don't know. I mean, yeah, it was alright. I gave it a 2.5 out of 5. It was, yeah, I mean, God, just talking about it, now I realize it's not even that good of a movie. but yeah.
So funny, cool. Talking about that last Oblivion, I was just like, yeah, I didn't like it. But by the end, just talking about it, I was like, yeah, 3.
Yeah, no.
I was like,
it's great.
It doesn't deserve a 0.5, but definitely, like, after talking about it for a little bit, it's like, yeah, it's all right.
No, I thought I enjoyed Trance a lot. Like, I thought, oh, you know what, it's really good. But then the more you think about it, and talking about it now, it's like, no, because I'm not finding any death in the film. Like, yeah, like I said, the enjoyment wasn't on the twists and turns. And,
wow.
But there was so much of that, too, that at the end, they just got kind of tiring, and you were just like, whatever.
Okay.
There's the opening sequence, which just felt so out of place, where McAvoy narrates and stares at the camera and narrates, like, the beginning. Just, that was so out of place, because it doesn't ever happen again in the movie. And that felt really out of place, too. Huh. That kind of bugged me. But, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Anyway, I know you guys are probably never going to see it.
I'm going to check it out. I like Danny Boyle, so.
No, yeah. I'll give it a chance. See if you're Boyle and McAvoy, because they're a good combo. I hope they make films together more, but, yeah.
So next up is movie homework. It's a segment where we each give each other homework of a film that we love, we think they should watch as well. Last week we had Brandon McKenna on the show. Get to make it this time.
He's moving to a house. New house.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so he gave Robert his movie homework, but I guess since we just talked a lot, we'll start with you, Anthony.
Right.
I gave you a horror film by, well, more suspense, psychological thriller by Brad Anderson called Session 9. What do you think of it?
Session 9. It was. I'm glad you pointed that out to me, because apparently it's been floating on Netflix. Fucking didn't notice it. So. Yeah. I don't queue through Netflix enough. It's got to be. I got to be on mission for it. I'm really bored.
I actually found, if you like going on Netflix on your computer, you find so much more stuff than you do going.
Yeah, because they hide a lot of stuff on your PC.
I mean, there's such a difference between Xbox Netflix and PS3 Netflix.
Okay.
Then you switch up the PC, which is a completely different medium altogether. Yeah. So, I agree with that. Like, going through console scrolling is awful.
Yeah.
Because the selections they make is so, like, tight-based algorithms that they're, it's just, you're cut off from so much options. And it seems like the search is like, ugh, whatever. Let's go into it. I liked it a lot. I watched it, and it's this tight base. I've seen so much people call it like setting-based horror. So mm-hmm. it's like location-based horror. So I really dug that. Like, that was totally what it was.
Yeah.
So it's kind of this blue-collar take on horror, or not even horror, thriller is more of a better word for it. And my brothers are definitely are union painters, and mm-hmm. they're off time when there's no work, they do contract work. So totally like in the family, you know, the movies like, and I've worked for them too, like side job. That banter is totally what happens, you know?
Yeah. And you ever see Session 9 Row?
Yeah, I saw it, yeah. Okay.
So that tight knit, like just fucking with your workmates is real, you know? It's just like, it's so well done in the film that it's believable. The chemistry between the characters and, you know, the, everyone goes with this rank, you know, like some, like the kid, the junior, and it just keeps on going to a ladder. Then, you know, your boss, right? So like it goes in that, and it's even more fluid when it's contract work, and that's what it was, contract work. And it was so, so that like really brought me into it. And I went up to my brother today, like he got out of work, and I was like, yeah, man, I got this movie for you, man. It's totally like blue collar horror. You're gonna love it, man. It's like, it just reminded me of you and Terry, you know, this is so crazy. It was like, contract work, I was describing to him, like, two lines, and he was like, yeah, I've seen that movie. It's an old film, right? He's like, yeah, he's like, it's really an old, like, 2001. He's like, yeah, I've fucking seen that film. Yeah. And he was like, I was like, it's fucking scary, you know, like, I was scared, dude, I loved it.
Yeah, it is a scary film, it works, it's so genius, like, it's so original the way it tries to scare you, it really is.
You guys kept on saying Kubrick style, like, Shining, it did have that.
Yeah.
But as I was watching, I didn't think Kubrick, but like afterwards, I'm like, yeah, that is like kind of a hallway, or like the most scary part for me was the kid being locked in and the lights just shutting down in the hallway.
Yeah.
Slowly, like fucking slowly terrifying. Unamped, and the hallway just gets darker behind him, and he's just... Yeah,
and he's like running and screaming.
Man, and you know, he's got the phobia for the darkness, so it's like, what the fuck would you do in that situation? Just dead, you know?
That like, was it's a great moment. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, for me, like you said, like, just the camaraderie, like, I just thought, like, it was perfectly cast with the five guys who were there.
Fuck you!
Yeah, like, you yesterday on Facebook, he was, like, doing all this David Crusoe stuff, so I thought, like, I just had the sense that you didn't like the movie, based on the Crusoe stuff that you were posting.
No, Crusoe's the best.
But yeah, I mean, for me, that's a big part of it, is the cast. And like this is, I believe this was his first feature film, and like I felt like it was the filmmaking was so confident,
sure.
Like the mood and the atmosphere that he was able to like display was incredible. Like I mean, and yeah, and the setting really helps. Like that's a really fucking creepy hospital, you know, and just the design of it. I actually, you know, I had the urge to visit that eventually, and then I found out they tore it down, so it's pretty disappointing.
They said,
you know?
The film was a remnant to them tearing it down. Like, it was an homage to knowing that this historical site was in the face of progress, and even though they made it a national site, still couldn't face Walmart or like a parking lot, you know? It still got tore down. So like, the movie was trying to be like, yeah, this is really happening in real life. This place has historical reasons to be here, has an ugly past, yet you still erase it because, hey, we need a parking lot. Hey, we need a Walmart. Yeah. So, like, they did the movie in homage to, yeah, this really is going on. Parking lots are more important than history. You know, and that kind of goes with America.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
It's sad. It's sad. So.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Like,
The camera. It was shot so cool.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, I was reading up. It was it's 24-frame HD.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like the second time in use. Or he used it before George Lucas. George Lucas got thirsty as fuck and used it too. It's new technology for Star Wars, and he used it first. And it's got, it's a 24 frames. Is more like home video shot, so you can feel that. Like it's definitely does feel like. I was trying to compare it to like what is it? The Hobbit was shot in 48.
Yeah,
they're saying that's supposed to be more like home video. Which one's more like home video? Is it the 24 or 48?
Well, I mean, I guess with the 48, you could see people get the sense that it feels more like a set, I guess.
Okay.
So, like, you're actually there, which is could be a negative thing for people.
Yeah. I guess. Some people get thrown out of the fantasy. Yeah. They said they can see the beards and the
yeah, they could just they could see that it looks fake. It looks more fake, I guess.
I didn't notice the fake beards in the Hobbit. I was looking for them. I was like, I guess I just don't care.
So you saw it in 48 as well?
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. Yeah. And I was very apprehensive going in.
I liked it. Yeah. It took a little, but whatever.
Yeah.
I felt the 3D took away more so than the 48.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like the 3D.
Okay.
But yeah. I really liked the film. It was good. I'm glad you recommended it.
Yeah,
it's a very good horror film.
It's a good film.
Yeah. I mean, it's depends on how you view it as a horror thriller, but
because you think it's going to be scary as fuck, you think like it's going to be.
But it scares you in the right way.
I definitely think there's some fucking scary.
It uses its surroundings to scare you. It doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't use any paranormal thing or anything, and it worked so well. Like when you're talking about that scene where the kid and the lights start going off and he starts screaming and running, like it freaks you the fuck out.
I fucking love that kid. Yeah. So good in it.
Yeah. That was the end for me.
It's like what happened to Josh Lucas? Like
he was in
Stealth and then he just disappeared.
But, yeah, I mean, he made bad choices. That was a problem. Like he was being like I remember when they were talking about him, like, oh, he's the next big thing, the next great actor. And he just made bad choices.
He had the look. I thought
that really spooked the fuck out of me.
I mean, the reason why I brought up Josh Lucas is that that's one of the scariest scenes for me when he realized, you know, he finds the crematorium, I guess, part of the of the hospital, and then he decides to go back there at night to get all the
relics.
Yeah, and then what follows after that is he's getting chased. I thought that was so scary.
The little figure fucking scared the fuck out of me. You know,
it just turns the corner.
Yeah,
my god,
so freaky. I love the unspokenness of the film. That's going to be the point of not explaining every word and spoon feeding you everything.
Yeah.
The can of Jif, the can of peanut butter. Fuck that. That was so fucked up, man.
Yeah.
It was in the hallway, and then he was taking it when he's going to the home after he kills his wife and kid.
Yeah.
So messed up.
Yeah. I love the whole aspect of the guy listening to the tapes, obviously, and how it's just
all the different voices.
It's just it's just
so fucked up.
It's basically just explaining the plot of what's going on with this guy, just how some shit could happen and you would just snap. You know,
that was cool, man.
Yeah, the voices were amazing.
The setting was just meant for them to go insane. I love how how can you do this in 1 week? I know when a contract goes, there are asbestos removals. So they're told what they can. He must have seen how much asbestos marks were. The whole you had that whole building. I worked for a building. It was four floors.
Mm-hmm.
They have asbestos. So, but it's a very small area. So if they ever get contract work, it's gonna be expensive as hell. But it's very small. So you can see if they have a good budget, might be a small percentage of asbestos. But just seeing the film go, it's you don't know how much asbestos they have to clean up. Stressful. And the scenery is awful. Everything's dirty. It feels like they have to clean up everything. Yeah. You know they might not have to, but it just feels like, how the hell can you do all this work in 1 week?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the asylum just drives you insane, too, just thinking about how much work they might have. I liked it.
I'm glad you loved it. Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
Nice.
So you gave me Slapshot.
Sure did. You see it?
Yeah, of course I saw it.
Fun.
It was okay.
You gotta remember, Jason's not big on comedies. He has no sense of humor.
I mean, Slapshot's not really heavy comedy, I don't think.
Yeah, it's Canadian comedy. That is true. If it's Canadian comedy, is very light. Yeah.
But I felt like the hockey. I mean, even though I know nothing about, I guess, minor league hockey. Was this supposed to be professional league or
minor
league? No, it
wasn't professional. It was adult hockey league.
Yeah. I thought, even though I don't really know, this is based on no knowledge from myself, but I felt it. I mean, it felt authentic, I guess.
Okay.
Just the lifestyle of them, how it's just, you play the game and you go drinking with the guys afterwards, and then you try to hook up with some groupie or whatever. So I did like that aspect of it. I mean, Paul Newman, he's not really a likable character because he's a bit of a sleazeball.
Yeah.
I felt like he reminded me of a buddy of mine.
Okay.
but yeah, he's this charming loser and whatever. I don't know. He was okay. Yeah. But I don't know, what bugged me a little bit about the movie was the lack of the Hanson brothers. They come in, and I thought they were going to be a mainstay in the film. Like, they were going to, like, focus wasn't going to go on to them eventually.
Yeah.
And it never, that never kind of happened.
Yeah, they kind of tease at it. That's like, they seem like they could. Yeah, I agree. They could.
Yeah, even, like, seeing the covers, like.
So freaking cool.
Yeah.
And it just, it adds to the lore of how cool those guys could have been.
Yeah, probably.
It just makes them more cooler.
Yeah, I guess.
The lore of the film is those brothers, so.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the hockey itself, like, when they were actually playing, I thought it was, like, legitimate. Like, this is hockey.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, I guess, aside from the quirky characters of the full, like, the team and stuff like that, aside from that, there's not really much to hold on to. I guess I'm just kind of, you know, like, you see so many sports films, you kind of expect something out of it, and, like, you want to root for them to, like, win the championship or whatever, and, like, this movie's not isn't going for that, you know? Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it is definitely, a very memorable film, like... I could see why it could be viewed as a classic because there's so many things about it that would kind of stick with you or stand the test of time, whatever. But yeah, there was nothing there for me to hold on to, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know. What do you like about it?
It's a hockey film. It's like, I don't know. It's family classic, friend classic. Most hockey fans just really enjoy the film. It's easy to just shoot the shit and go slap shot.
You know? Yeah.
It's just typical beer. Having a beer and, like, just shooting the shit with your friends. Slapshot.
Yeah.
It's a fast beer film.
Yeah, even though I didn't like Paul Newman, I did like the fact that, you know, he's just a guy who just can't seem to get out of this rut. Like, you know, he's always has this fascination with, I mean, women in general, but, you know, he has a wife and they eventually get divorced or in the process of getting divorced. And, like, you could tell he's this guy who wants to put it all together, but then that never ends up happening. Really, but he's kind of like a lovable loser in a way, I guess. Yeah, you saw Slapshot?
No.
Nah, it's just a quick '80s hockey film.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, if you're into the like, my family's total hockey heads, so
yeah,
it's definitely a lot of my friends are hockey heads, so just easy shoot the shit film.
Cool. Yeah, I'm not big on hockey, so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I've been kind of falling away from sports lately. But, I mean, I enjoy hockey a lot, like, watching it. Mm-hmm. But I don't have Comcast, so I can't watch
the Blackhawks. Yeah, you can't watch anything without it. It's awful.
Yeah. Otherwise, I probably would. Hockey, anyway. That would probably be the only thing I would be interested in nowadays. Yeah. Well, Robert, dodeca...
Pentathlon.
Yeah.
That was sent to me by Brandon. Well, the movie's about pretty much these two brothers who, when they were young, held a 25-event kind of Olympic thing. And whoever won the most events was pretty much the better brother. That's the plot of the movie. Uh-huh. And then because of this, they became estranged. And the older brother, I think is the older brother, you never really find out. The older brother comes back home for his birthday for the weekend to visit his mom. When he brings his wife and his son, and his brother all of a sudden just shows up out of nowhere, his estranged brother. And so he starts to spark this like competition with him again. And so they decide to do the event again behind their family's backs to find out who the better brother is. And, it's an enjoyable movie. I mean, there were moments where it was just okay, like, but I mean, as far as, I liked a lot of the meanings behind the movie. What I got out of the movie is just these two men, the brothers who are unhappy with who they are in their lives, and, they use, like, other things to sort of, like, distract themselves from that, and I felt like, that's what the movie was really about. It's funny at times it just kind of gets irritating, I don't know, like, it didn't really stick to me, like, I don't know, I mean, the only thing that stuck to me was the message of the film. I mean, the main character, the main brother, was pretty much, the focus was on him, again, like, he's a guy who's not happy with how he looks, and the weight that he's gained, or, you know, his life. I mean, the guy sees a psychiatrist and a doctor, and they both tell him, don't stress yourself out, and what does he do when he goes home? He starts stressing himself out with this whole thing with his brother, and again, like, he's just someone who's not happy with who he is, someone who's trying to find a way to distract himself by doing these stupid things with his brother, and he has a son who doesn't connect with at all, and when he starts doing this, for some reason, his son starts to admire him for him, you know, and But he gets so caught up in it that he becomes kind of like an asshole. And then so like even the brother who came, his strange brother who came out of nowhere starts to notice like this different person in him. And so I don't know. I mean, it's a mumblecore film. I don't know if you ever heard
the term. Like, what, I mean, I've heard of the term, but like, what is it? What does that mean?
I think I don't know. From what I'm aware, mumblecore films are like really subtle, just films that, you know, it's just a lot of dialogue. It's cheaply shot, and they don't rely on a lot of a thing. I don't know. That's what I take. I don't know if that's what I'm right. I've never Googled it, but yeah, I mean. It's an honest movie. It's really like when you see the shots of the family members talking to each other, it feels real. Like it feels honest. I think it's mostly all improvised. It's from what I took out of it, but yeah. I mean, again, it's about that. That's all I got from it. It didn't really stick with me. I watched it at work today too, by the way. So that's why I forgot to watch it last night. So I was like, "Shit, I gotta watch this movie."
You watch on your phone?
No. I watched it on the computer at work. Fortunately, work was really slow. So like, well, I mean, I kept pausing it every once in a while, but like, I don't know. Like, I just didn't find any really like true and honest moments, except for like the scene where he talks to his wife at the end, and. You find out why he was the why this guy, the main character, was the way he is, was, you know, or why, you know, why he's not happy. He's just not happy with himself. But again, that's pretty much all I got from it. It's a good message, but I don't know. It's just, it's 1 hour and 10 minutes long. It's a really short movie.
Wow,
yeah. It's like 1 hour and 10, 15 minutes. Yeah,
it
is.
So all movies can be that short.
So I mean, it was fun. It was interesting. There was some stuff that was fun to watch, but yeah, it was all right. Okay. And the way Brandon was talking about that, it was going to be great, you know, and because we were talking about Safety Not Guaranteed and certain moments in that movie that I loved and certain scenes. And he's like, oh, if you love that scene, then watch this movie. It's great. But I feel like, yeah, there were some parts of like that, but it wasn't, nothing really stuck out with me.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that's movie homework.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moving on to what we watched. Who wants to go first?
I saw Jack Reacher last night. Oh, yeah. I was supposed to watch my homework, but then I was like, I'm going to watch the first 5 minutes of Jack Reacher to see how it looks. And I got caught up in it.
Nice.
Yeah. It's pretty badass. I'm not going to lie. It's a badass movie. Well, like,
I want to see that film.
Like, the one-liners, too, are very clever. They're not cheesy. Like, they're not cheesy one-liners that you've heard in other movies. They're actually really good. Cool. Like, there's a line where he's like, where he talks to this guy on the phone because they have some person hostage. He's like, you know what? I'm just going to beat you to death, and I mean to drink your blood from my boot. He says something like that. It was like, that was so badass. Wow. I was like, wow, that's so cool. Even, like, for someone that's small, like, Tom Cruise is not a tall guy, and I think a lot of people complain about him being Jack Reacher because I guess in the books he was described as like a really tall guy. But he made it work. He was pretty badass in the movie. I was surprised how good he was in it. It's your paint-by-numbers kind of suspense movie. You know, the plot is simple. I mean, you it's not hard to understand, but, I mean, that dialogue was great. It was written and directed by the guy who wrote and directed Way of the Gun. So I was really, when I saw his name on the credits, I'm like, oh, awesome. Cool. Christopher McQuarrie or whatever his name is. Like,
Way of the Gun was just...
Yeah, Way of the Gun. I loved Way of the Gun. Haven't seen Way of the Gun?
I can definitely like just fast forward for the shooting scenes.
The shootout scenes are amazing, Way of the Gun, yeah.
Mexican standoff.
But yeah, no, but he's great at dialogue too. So that's why I was really happy with that I found out that he, when I was watching the credits. So yeah, it's actually an entertaining movie. I was happy with it. I finished watching it. The dude is so badass. I'm sorry. Like, the shit that he says is so awesome. And
another movie that only Tom Cruise could pull off.
The ending was great. Like, I mean, he's it's so unapologetic, the things that he does and the way it ends and what he's like the right thing to do and the wrong thing to do and what not to do. He's like, he does what he wanted to do. He did what he wanted to do, and he didn't apologize for it. It's like, well, it's done. There's nothing you can do about it. And I thought that was great. I thought the way that it ended was awesome. But definitely watch it. It's a good rental. Definitely a good rental. You'll be entertained by it. I was, at least. Awesome. It's a good popcorn flick, yeah.
Can't
wait. Yeah, that's what I saw. That's it. That's all I saw. Actually, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to try to step it up next week. Yeah.
What's that? Gotcha.
Like step it up as far as watching more stuff outside of what we're supposed to and stuff like that. Yeah.
Well, I rewatched 21 Jump Street too.
Oh yeah.
Fucking hilarious. Yeah, it's funny.
I've heard great things.
I haven't seen it.
I saw the first 20 minutes, but I haven't finished it.
You know, the second movie is great, especially when they do the shootout and he's like they're running down the hallway. It's like. Jonah Hill tells Channing Tatum like, "Oh my god, I can't believe you killed the guy." And Channing Tatum just pukes all over him because he's so weirded out that he just killed somebody.
Like, I feel like that shootout happened. Like I checked out mentally. Like
no, it's funny. It's funny. Yeah, it's good.
Like the film. I don't know what. I just didn't claw me. You know. It's
definitely messy.
It's definitely need a second viewing. Yeah, but someone's got to force my hand.
It's definitely messy, and come on, like you're watching a comedy. Like, I know. Don't worry about the plot. But
I don't think I was worrying about the plot. Like that aside, it's still like I don't know.
I enjoyed it. I laughed this first time, but I watched it like at 2 a.m.
Are you a fan of the series?
I've never watched the series.
See, some people like fans of the series, and that's why they like it. So
I laughed. I mean, I definitely laughed. So it was all right. Yeah.
Cool. I watched Game of Thrones. I finally caught up with that. It's good. I mean, of course, it's good. It's a great show.
I heard it's pretty good.
I heard the show is pretty good.
It's a great show. Yeah. You're not watching already, you should be.
Like a storm.
Yeah. You know, there's a. I mean, I don't want to spoil stuff for people who haven't seen it, but, you know, there's like characters. There's like characters who I. You know, you kind of dislike in a way, but then you start warming up to them.
Mm hmm. Or should have warmed up to them seasons ago.
But yeah, I mean, I got that way with the Kingslayer. Jamie, right? Jamie Lannister. Yeah, so fuck their shit happens to him, but whatever.
Is it Oblivion that did it?
No, this is... No, he's a sexy guy, but...
A ponytail. That tail.
And even Theon. What's his name? Something Joy. His last name. Theon Greyjoy? He's the guy who, he kind of... fucked over the Starks last season.
Took
over Winterfell. But I thought there was a really great moment with him in a recent episode. Well, yeah, even before that, there was a really nice moment where...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He tells motives.
Yeah. I mean...
His reasons were just so...
Yeah, I mean,
his mind killed those kids.
Yeah, yeah. He definitely went way overboard. Yeah. But, I mean, I did understand this... allegiance to his father and wanting to bring pride to his house. He just went around too. Yeah, but I don't know, I thought that was a really nice moment once he admitted that Ned Stark was his real father. That was some powerful stuff. But whatever,
without getting into spoilers,
Ned Stark was his real dad?
No,
just raised him like
he raised him because they had taken over
Jon Snow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And he said, you know, my real father lost his head at King's Landing, so that was a good moment. Yeah. But
without giving spoilers, I feel that Daenerys Targaryen. It's like she does have, over most characters, the rightful, like noble claim to the throne as a character compared to most.
I can't
justify the seat of a throne besides her. She has
exactly. Slate. She has that compassion, but yet she also has that the power to like
slick
to rule and judge and
mm-hmm. She like, carries her cards over here and the sword behind.
Yeah,
you.
She balances it also well. She's like, compassionate, but yet
and then the sword she'll know right
who
here.
She'll know who to fuck over. Like you know, you deserve what you deserve. Like it's so good. Yeah, I love her.
I'm
definitely warmed up to her, but I mean to me, I don't know, like. I guess in the first season with the whole Dothraki stuff, like that was interesting.
Yeah.
Season two, like her shit was boring.
Really?
Like with the House of the Warlocks or whatever.
I liked it.
I don't like any of those aspects of the show. So like whenever she popped up, but you know, and obviously that's her character. She's trying, you know, she started off with nothing. Like she doesn't have. What it takes to like be a leader.
Her brother was everything she's trying to be.
And yeah, I definitely think like what they're doing with her arc is, you know, like after this episode, like I'm totally digging her now, you know, like there's cool things going to happen. As far as if I want her to take the throne, I can't say I do. I mean, yeah, her Her people were fucked over. Her people were fucked over. Like, that was their, you know, kingdom to begin with. But I don't know, you know. Whatever. If it's not the Stark House, which I know it's not going to be.
God, they're so sloppy. Let me just put my mother in prison.
And then I don't really care then. We already know it's not going to be the Stark House.
Oh, my God.
How do you know it's not going to be the Stark House?
I've already heard stuff.
You Wikipedia the novels?
Yeah. No, I just heard bad.
The young kid, the one, the crippled kid, uh-huh. He seems like could justify the house.
The only thing I heard, without spoiling anything,
the books haven't even ended yet. Aren't there still two more books to come out? The story hasn't even finished yet either, like, so you don't even know.
Yeah, I don't truly know.
I already know tons of the characters that I love are going to die. That's all I'm saying.
It's going to stab you right now. All right.
Thanks for spoiling it for a lot of people.
I mean, you guys already know. Like,
the characters you like are probably the same characters everybody else likes.
Winterfell is, like, done already. It's already, like, done. Like,
that's so sad, though.
There's no hope there.
That family crumbled apart. It's so sad.
It's fucked up.
It is so messed up because they're the most innocent out of everybody.
I guess that a lot of people, like, hate the books because, like, they fucking kill all the characters you love.
I think lunch. I was having lunch with my... my family, and I was just like, the testament of true good drama. I'm really, like, just on my off time, worried about Sansa. Just worried about her, like a fictional character. Just worried the fuck about her character. I'm just like, God, she's being manipulated, you know?
It's like, what's the guy's name? Littlefinger?
Littlefinger.
He's such a slimeball. He just has that face.
He's so snark. With the mustache, he just goes hand in hand.
But really, like, in every movie he's been in, like, he was in Dark Knight Rises.
And just make it snarky.
Yeah.
I agree with you, though. I think a lot of people who aren't fans of the books are going to get so mad at this show because...
We don't know what's going
on. No, not even that. Like, everything, terrible things happen. Like, nobody, like you said, like, all the characters that you love, terrible things always happening
to
them. We're
not, like, spoiling it,
yeah. Yeah.
Awful things will happen.
So, like,
it's just gonna get worse, basically.
I agree with you, though. It is frustrating. For me, it is frustrating, because, like, you want to catch that breather. Like, where's that breather, you know?
And there's no off time.
There is no breather, because I've read the synopsis of all the books, and I'm like, what? There's no breather. What the fuck? Like, is this gonna get worse? Yeah. And so,
that old grandma, the grandma pisses me off. Yeah. She's such a good character.
Who?
Because, you know, she's so conniving.
The one who just showed up?
Yeah.
I thought she was great. She's like, a great addition.
She has great dialogue.
Her character is just, oh, look, a spider approaches.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know what she's so up to, good. But in a way, I trust her, even though I probably shouldn't.
No,
I read this funny thing on Twitter. Somebody said the Twitter is like Game of Thrones. Terrible things happen all the time. Like, or something like that. Oh, that's so good.
What else did I watch?
People want Drake to ruin their vaginas and shit. That's Twitter. Welcome to Twitter.
I didn't watch all of this, so I probably should have mentioned it, but...
Go ahead.
A movie called Loose Change, 9/11. Conspiracy theory stuff, you know, after everything that's... I know. After everything that's going
dog
on...
Dogport's kind of recovering from that. I'm just washing dog... Shouldn't talk...
I know. To be honest, I was going to tell Chris, this is not an appropriate place for Dogport. Like, this is a fun place with silly shit.
We're gonna die. We're gonna be kicked out of Dogport.
Oh no, we're gonna get beat up.
Who's the admin of Dogport?
Yes. You're not supposed to talk about it.
Yeah, we're not supposed to.
That's the first rule.
You guys just started talking about it right now.
Delete myself. What are we talking about? Conspiracies.
Bad conspiracy. You know, obviously, there's stuff going on with the Boston bombings. A lot of conspiracies. Yeah. People on Reddit and stuff doing their amateur investigating and stuff like that.
There's so much of what Chris posted on Facebook, and people just literally blindly follow. Just like, wow, that's...
I
never looked at it that way.
I mean, I, like, see it as fascinating, but, like, to me, like, I've just gotten to the point where, like, I can't believe anything, really.
Yeah.
With the Boston bombing stuff, like, there's nothing for me to question there, I don't think. Like,
but, you know, and we're never going to get the video of the actual placement and the explosion. We have there has to be multiple videos of placement and explosion.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're never going to see them. It's all
FBI though?
Confidential.
Uh-huh.
And the personal person that's going to do it is be on lockdown. Especially, like, we have that CISPA under investigation. I'm glad that didn't pass with, like, everyone approved the CISPA. That's just basically the government can do it all the time. Uh-huh. Everything you do online is, like, for the higher power, can be taken advantage. Mm-hmm. But CISPA is, like, in law that they can do it. So it's just like, I didn't think they could do it.
They could do what?
They can, everything, all your information, everything can be combed for the protection of any excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Your data isn't your data.
I mean, I understand that footage not coming out for maybe legal matters at this point.
I'm sure if you
and what's going on,
it could happen, uh-huh. but it might even have to be like exchanged in a very low key way.
Uh-huh. Well,
I can't imagine.
I'm like talking about the actual video.
Yeah, I mean, imagine that video being circulated anytime soon.
Yeah,
considering
but,
how enclosed with FBI it is.
I guess
data can be so marked.
I just think they owe that. I mean, maybe they do or they don't, but I think they owe that to the public to show that, you know? Like, what, we should just take it at face value that, like, these are the guys who did it? I mean, I mean, obviously, they're on the run.
Yeah.
They, one of them shot at them. They're throwing bombs, stuff like that, but I don't know.
That was fascinating.
It's like they could just say stuff, and if, like, I'm just supposed to believe it because
so
you're telling me this, you know?
Now that you think about it.
Yeah.
This week was hell week.
Yeah.
This week was multiple temperatures and wingspan of fuck.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, I don't think seeing this movie came out of that. It was like somewhere in between there. But I just saw it because I was always fascinated by that kind of stuff. And what I saw the movie, I thought it was presented in a good way, all these different conspiracies of what might have happened on that day. So
what is the event?
On 9/11.
Oh, okay. I love those documentaries. They're so fascinating. Yeah. But frustrating.
I mean, you know, this one didn't seem like too heavy conspiracy theory. Okay. Like, it seemed like it tried to stick to the facts or what it thought was the facts, like, anyway. That's fascinating stuff. It's just kind of angering that you.
In the beginning,
you're really never going to know the truth
the
anyway.
Thing, I was just like, yeah, we'll get more information as it goes on.
Yeah.
But slowly, it's like, yeah, we won't get any of that information.
Yeah.
But we get, like, remnants of, like, the mother spoke out today. Like, why did you have to kill my son?
Yeah.
Why couldn't you just throw him in Guantanamo Bay and just do whatever the fuck you wanted to do to him?
Yeah.
He's throwing bombs at officers. It was pretty crazy. This is Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
It was nuts. Like, that's, like,
I mean, there was, like, stupid conspiracy. I mean, I'm not saying whatever. They could or they couldn't hold weight, but,
and
you know.
In the end, he was wounded and his brother ran him over, so.
Yeah.
That sucks. Yeah. They got confessions out of this guy. He's writing now. As much as he can't talk, he's writing now.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. Oh, yeah. We're going too far from the topic.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah.
Yeah, but, like, even, I mean, whatever. I don't want to be the one to keep questioning it, but, like, just because they're telling you that's what's happening, you're just supposed to believe that that's what's happening?
I love the science, that one. Is it the one where they talk about the explosives used on the building?
Mm-hmm.
That they didn't, they found traces of the chemical everywhere from the blast site?
You mean 9/11?
Yeah, 9/11.
Yeah, it's saying that the buildings were brought down demolition style?
They never did a trace for that chemical anywhere, even though it showed up everywhere?
Yeah.
Yeah, shit's crazy.
Yeah, parts of the movie went into that. And then supposedly they did find those traces.
I mean, it's all speculation. It's all conspiracy.
Yeah. Like, I mean, for that, it seems like it would make more sense because there's stuff to gain out of that, like the going to wars and all that profit. But, like, for here, it kind of makes less sense. Like, what is there to get out of it? Like, lying about who committed this, you know? Like, where's the benefit there, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe to pass certain legislation, but
I think it's a conspiracy. And to undermine people hating this country as much as they obviously did, it's cutting in between two fine lines.
Yeah. Robert is totally disinterested.
Yeah, I hate this whole conspiracy documentary shit. Like, it's fucking stupid. I'm sorry.
It's not necessarily like what you're just gonna believe what people tell you.
It just all it does. Like,
I mean,
you can find motives and ideas for every little thing that plans.
But no, like, think about this. Supposedly, there is video of one of them planting the backpack. Why haven't we seen that? Like, what would be the reason for them not to show us that?
Here's the thing, though.
If that's definitive proof, why aren't we seeing it?
If both of them were dead, I think we would get the video sooner. If we would get the video.
Mm-hmm.
But now that one of them's alive.
But why wouldn't we get the video? Like, do they not owe that to the public? I mean, this is something that happened to the public.
Yeah.
So don't they owe that to them? Even the people who, you know, the victims and what happened.
Anymore.
Yeah, that just seems weird that wouldn't come out, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if there's evidence there.
They shot down CISPA. CISPA was passed, like, while this was happening, which is, it just spikes those conspiracy back
very
quickly.
Yeah, I didn't look into the whole CISPA stuff, so I'm glad you know more about it.
Well, they're trying to pass it. It got contested later on in the week, so Yeah. That's crazy.
There was even, like, crazy shit coming out when the Newton or the Newtown killings, you know, in the classroom. And, yeah, like, people thought the purpose of that was to bring along, like, more gun control legislation. Mm. And obviously that didn't come to fruition. Like, they just threw it down, so.
That was hilarious. Yeah, everyone thought, oh, God, everyone goes on that boat where they're just like, they're taking away my guns, you know?
Yeah.
No way. It's like, I'm just going to set up a fort and get ready to defend it from Barack Obama. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Fucking gun nuts, man. They just need a reason to shine their guns.
Hmm. All right. I'm sorry. Sorry we got political there.
No, that's okay.
And then I saw a Spanish film called Sex and Lucia.
Nice.
Cynthia wanted to watch it. So, yeah, it was a bit... So, it's about this girl named Lucia. And I guess she's in love with this guy who writes these novels, but they're kind of like tragic novels, right? Mm-hmm. But she reads a book of his, she falls in love with him, and she sees him one day at a restaurant. So she just walks up to him and says, like, I love you. I want to live with you.
Ted Mosby.
It's fucking crazy. She just, like, he just says, yeah, let's do it. So, you know, so it's kind of like this love story, but then it turns into this whole thing of finding out all these different other side things. So it's kind of like melodramatic soap opera in a way.
Okay.
There's this whole side element of he had sex this one night on his birthday with this one woman. Mm-hmm. And turns out she had a baby. And so it's like this twist and turn. It's basically Lucia brought about all these revelations, like,
okay,
ended up, you know, finding out.
Is it a recent film?
I'm not sure. It's probably relatively recent.
Did you get it from Netflix? Or?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
That's cool.
But yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed, like, the story. I mean, it did get a little sappy towards the end. Not like sappy, but it was a little much, you know? Mm. I don't know. I enjoyed it. Check it out. I know I don't have much to say about it, cool. But it was good. It was good.
That's cool.
It's a good Spanish film. Did you watch anything?
Yeah, I did. I just remembered, was it Rudy assigned me a Black Book a couple weeks ago? I watched that.
Yeah.
It was good. It reminded me of, the whole time, like, I didn't know where the film was going to begin with. Like, I knew it was a World War II film.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they put you in that World War II scenery, so, like, the way it's done is awesome. It's just, she's like, oh, you shouldn't be playing American music. She's playing American music in the boat. And then all of a sudden a fucking bomb drops. And it's like, wow, it's going there. This film's going there. So it goes from there. And I felt like the film totally was hinting on this Quentin Tarantino Inglourious Basterds run. And I liked that. I was like, wow, this is this with a lot of tones. Like, I felt like Quentin Tarantino definitely skinned some of this. Literally skinned. pun intended, from this film. Like, I felt like he took an American point of view on the same film. Like, a lot of this insurgent. And you go in and you're trying to pretend it's the same plot, but, you know, Quentin Tarantino did it with the funny aspect and all that stuff. I liked the film. That was pretty cool. I just wanted to give a heads up to Rudy that I did see it. Rudy. And, besides that, we already covered Game of Thrones, so that's cool. Mad Men, that happened.
How's the season going so far?
Like, this was interesting. This one was like, the drama is very low. Like, you know, you're saying, like, your sister has been caught up and she doesn't know if she likes it or not. I can see that. It's so obvious. It's right there. Like, right now, the biggest highlight is, like, someone took a deal that they used to have because they have a spy in the company. I mean, it's a small drama that equates to... just watchable, you know. Like, it's more about scenery and, like, how these characters that you've been watching for so much seasons play out, up their ante. And Dawn's protege, Peggy, just her character just keeps on evolving. It's great. So that was the budding horns in this episode, and it played out really well. So I'm enjoying the new season. I think this is probably somewhere around my first time where I'm watching it weekly, so that's different.
Yeah.
It's kind of... maybe it works better in, like, a Netflix fashion. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's take it or leave it show. You know, it's very... Nothing fast is going on in the show, so...
Yeah, I've seen, like I said, I saw the first season, and yeah, the same thing, like, I was enjoying myself, I just didn't know why.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's the one I want to pick up.
I look eventually. At the show, and yeah, it's very, like, it's drama, it's literally, like, you just want to see how it unfolds. Very small, like, it has a lot of things to do with, like, relevant celebrity stuff. Like, right now, they're dealing with Vietnam, and just recently, they're dealing with, like, Don's dating a celebrity, semi-celebrity. She's just, like, coming from literally, like, a model to TV now. She's a TV drama actor, like, As the World Turns kind of, like, stuff.
Uh-huh.
And he's having a hard time dealing with sex scenes. The funny thing about it, he's, like, just fucking everything that moves, you know, Don. And, like, he's mad that his wife has to play in a bed with a camera for money. And, like, he's basically like, well, what kind of girls do that? You know, like, when, tell me what kind of girls really do that. They get in bed with people for money, you know, like. It's just like, oh, you're such an ass, Don, you know? That's the drama. It's small, and it's awesome. It's realistic. It's relatable to the times, because I listened to Loveline, and those guys, one of the hosts, he's dating a celebrity. So he's like, if you want to deal with that jealousy by, like, dating a model or dating a movie actress, go to set while they're filming a sex scene and see how unsexy it is. You know, so it's like, it's real life. I just heard that, like, a week before that episode, so it's like, it's relevant to now. Don Draper is jealous as fuck because he can't deal with his wife being shot in a play sex scene. And it's like PG. It's daytime drama. Daytime drama. What else have I watched? Mad Men. That was good. I can split it into... we can cut into movie homework after this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so semi-movie homework because I got nothing else. Honestly, I'm picking at straws. So I seen this week, Which Way is the Frontline from Here? And it's a new HBO drama, a war film, like, well, not war film, war journalism. So, and it was really well done. Like, it's just so sad and so beautiful. It's just this really, well done documentary about a team of journalists that go and, he recruits this journalist so you get the back history. He pretty much dies on assignment, so it's just his buddy's tale of where it is from here. It's a tribute to his life, pretty much, and how bold he was. The man's name was Tim Hetherington, and his journalism is like, he goes to these war scenes. He's always like, so you're in this whole, like, you can see everything bombing down, everything's blowing up, and it's like, he's there, right? But, like, it's always, like, just like the title says, he's always going to literally the front line. You think just being there is enough. It's scary as fuck just having a camera, taking pictures, and being there in a country that's at war. But he's literally going to where the bombs are blowing up. Always doing that. And he takes this whole different advantage, or he's trying to take away from this war scene, the humanism. So that's his take on it. And he does that. He goes to front lines in Africa, front lines in Afghanistan with American soldiers. And he says it himself, he thought it was just going to be a very American fuck yeah, America, you know, eagles and shit. And he goes there and he got so much more out of it than that. And his buddy is narrating, because, like, that's his buddy. And his wife, it's fucking just a good documentary. Like, I don't know.
So, like, episodic, or?
It's not episodic, it's just like a tribute to his life. And it's done really well. Like, it's his documentary in the beginning with cuts of, like, his partners. When he was in Africa, you know, you can see his partners here and there. Like, when he was working over there, and it's, like, kind of him and that partner, and later it goes into, like, it kind of just cuts into more family members as it goes on. Like, that's what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Mid-movie, it's his wife, like, the concerns of starting a relationship and trying to be stable when you're going back and forth. And the guy has done, like, short films, and they show clips of it, and just seeing the clips of it, you can get really, I'm sure I can pull up the short film really quickly online. But, like, just getting to feel, like, these short films are, like, really autobiographies of his life. Fucking awesome. It was a really, really good film. Hour and a half. You're going to bawl your eyes out. It's fucking awesome.
So, what was it called again?
Which Way is the Front Line from Here? It came out a couple of weeks ago.
Is it Netflix?
No, it's HBO.
Okay, I was downloading it.
Yeah, you'll find it. There's a film beforehand, and there's a film beforehand they won Oscars for. So, like, it's one of the first war journalism to win an Oscar. So, like, the team is good. Him and his buddy, it's like,
What did you say the guy's name was?
Tim Hetherington.
Okay, so he didn't he direct
Repo? Repesso or
Restrepo?
Restrepo.
Yeah, I had heard about him dying. Yeah. I've seen Restrepo.
Yeah, so like yeah, his whole okay. thing is like trying to find like what is the true form of war.
Yeah.
And like his like theories were so good. Like it's like Sebastian, his buddy, talks about like I have to like he always was trying to find out what war was, like, and his underlying theory was good, but he had tons of veterans after he died email Sebastian, his buddy, that does the film, this film,
mm-hmm.
saying, you finally understand what war is. Tim's theory of war was, it's all about acting. When he was in Africa, like, literally, it was intimidation. They're acting. Like, they would have a gun, have a cigarette, and just act. They were just literally acting. You act like the warrior you think that's in your mind. What you think what a warrior is. So you act like him with intimidation, like Sylvester Stallone or some shit, right?
Yeah.
So you're smoking a cigarette and shooting. They use the intimidation to their factor. And, like, Tim took that from it. So same thing with American warriors, too. We all pretend like we're that American warrior, you know? We are Rambo, you know? Like, you pretend, you act like the warrior you think is in your mind. That's what Tim took through it. Sebastian, after he lost his buddy, you know, through doing this filming and such, he had tons of veterans emailing him and like just mailing him personally. You guys were looking for what war is. You found out what war was. War is you're going to be fighting with your brothers and you're going to lose your brothers. And you lost, you know, he lost his brother. Like it was his buddy, you know, like war is hell. It's a brothership. So like war is hell. And it's just, the film's beautiful. It's like, you don't realize how young these kids are. They're 18. They're not fighting for politics. They're fighting for their brothers. You know, like you're fighting with anybody. You know, and you're gonna lose them. That's the whole factors of war. It was really good.
That's awesome.
High recommendation.
I'll check it out.
Fucking loved it.
That's cool. Anything else?
No, I think that was it. Cool. I watched a little bit of TV. Oh, I've been watching actually, Retro Piece. I've been watching In Living Color. Really fucking good. It's like. It went there. That show constantly. I've watched 3 episodes so far. Every single episode has gone there. It's so modern and like so in your face. Like this is our take on media. You know, it's like this African American or black intake of we're sick of your media. Here's our take on it. You know, it's like, and that's exactly what like Native Americans are doing right now. It's like we're sick of your take on our people. We're going to do the same thing. So. What In Living Color did to the 90s is exactly what like I feel like our people are doing right now. So it's like, it's awesome. Yeah. Watching In Living Color is just a showpiece of the time. I love it. 3 episodes so far, I love it. It's cool. So out there. I watched that show, didn't think anything about it. You can't get social, economic, political things when you're that young, you know? Mm-hmm. 7 years old watching TV, you'll never pull that from a show like In Living Color. Like right now, it's like that's my show right now. In Living Color. Jim Carrey's hilarious.
Yeah, Fire Marshal Bill.
Hmm?
Fire Marshal Bill.
Yeah.
Has Hazy popped up yet?
No, he played Shatner in Farrakhan. Farrakhan's party boards the ship, and they start liberating all the people of color that are working on the ship. I've seen more of the back of your nappy-ass hair than anybody other actor in this film. She's like, you know what? You're right. You know, I don't deserve this. I'm not your bullshit secretary that was turn my head and put in coordinates and shit. You know, and then the Asian Zulu, he liberates Zulu and is like, I want to be late too. I've never been late and I've been on the ship for so much years. You fuck even the ugly chicks. And Shatner, which is Jim Carrey, he's freaking out. His whole like class of his fleet of people of color are just leaving him. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah,
it's the show. So politically charged. Like, not even politically. Just racially charged. It's so good.
That's good. That's cool.
In Living Color. Nods up. 90s. Fly cool. Girls are fly. They're still fly. Still fly as hell.
Alright. So movie homework for...
Oh, is
next week.
Film?
The following week.
My movie homework for... Is it... Do I have Rob?
Hmm?
Do I have you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that film. The HBO film.
Okay.
Okay.
Where's the front line from here?
Okay.
Okay.
And Robert, well, since there's only 3 of us this week, Robert's going to be giving both of us homework.
So. Yeah, I changed my assignment for you. Have you seen Dead Girl?
Yeah.
You have seen Dead Girl?
Oh, that's one of like Brittany Murphy or no?
No. It's the horror film. It's on Netflix.
I've seen it.
Okay, never mind then.
They like find a dead girl for having sex with her.
Well, you're still stuck with Eyes Wide Shut then.
Right.
Your Eyes Wide Shut by Stanley Kubrick, deal with it.
yeah, maybe a good Kubrick film.
It is a great Kubrick film. Every Kubrick film is a great Kubrick film.
You can
film.
Tie it to
Quit being a freaking baby.
That'd be kind of boring. Wait,
how would you even know if it's a great Kubrick film? You haven't even seen it. How are you going to judge? How many Kubrick films have you seen? One, right? Not even one. Shining. That's the only one you've seen.
I've seen Full Metal Jacket.
Okay. Yeah? Okay. You've seen
That's about
two. You've seen two. All of them are great.
I'm just saying, no one speaks of Eyes Wide Shut.
Everyone speaks,
no
of,
one speaks
Eyes Wide
of it.
Shut.
No one speaks of it.
It's a great film. You gotta deal with it. And what was my choice for you again? I don't even remember what I picked for you. What did I pick for you?
I forgot.
I didn't write it down.
It was on Netflix. Oh, Primer.
Oh, good.
Primer.
You don't get Primer. You don't get the privilege of Primer.
I don't like time travel, so I probably shouldn't watch Primer. I hate time travel and multi-dimensions, which we still haven't talked about Bioshock Infinite yet.
We should after this.
Just time to go. I gotta go. I have to go get a Primer.
Oh, no. All right, well, so this has been episode 29. You can email us at thefilmclubpodcast@gmail.com. Number is 773-245-3476 if you want to leave a voicemail. That's the episode. Anthony had to go pee, so he's not going to say bye, but bye. Take care, guys.